Today is Tuesday, January 29th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington, and coming up.
Amid the political crisis in Venezuela, with tens of thousands calling on Nicolas Maduro to step down, the U.S. increased the pressure on him Monday by hitting his government's lifeline, its state-owned oil company.
Also ahead, the White House says President Donald Trump wants to avert another partial U.S. government shutdown, but remains committed to erecting new barriers along the U.S.-Mexico border. It's all on today's International Edition. The White House says President Donald Trump wants to avert another partial U.S. government shutdown, but remains committed to erecting new barriers along the U.S.-Mexico border, something most Democratic lawmakers still reject. Yesterday, he accepted House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's invitation to deliver his State of the Union address in the House chamber on February 5th. Federal agencies have reopened after the longest shutdown in U.S. history. Late last week, Trump signed a stopgap three-week funding bill designed to give congressional negotiators a window to craft a package enhancing border security. The bipartisan conference committee with members both legislative chambers begins consultations tomorrow, but the partisan fault line over border wall funding that sparked the shutdown persists. Committee members declined to speculate on what negotiations might produce. And for the latest on the aftermath of the shutdown, VOA national correspondent Jim Malone joins me here in the studio. Thanks for joining me, Jim.
Sure, Kim.
Well, Jim, first of all, what is the biggest issue facing President Trump now that the government has reopened and given that Democrats still refuse to talk with him about a wall?
Right. I mean, I've been looking at the countdown clock, as it were, and we're 17 days to go for the deadline. The government is funded for 17 more days. And you mentioned this sort of bipartisan committee that's supposed to try to work out some sort of a deal on border security. The president is still, by all accounts, demanding money for fencing, for a wall, and Democrats are still signaling that that's something they don't want to do. Is there some place they can all meet in the middle? Perhaps. I mean, the president has said recently that he doesn't think he would accept anything less than the $5.7 billion that they've been asking all along. And by the way, that only would fund a short section of the wall, or, you know, about 300 kilometers or so. So it's not a huge part of the whole border barrier. But, I think as time goes on here, let's see what this committee can negotiate. A lot of it will be done, you know, away from the public eye, but I'm sure there'll be things leaking out. And as we draw closer to this next deadline, I'm sure the pressure will ramp up, especially from people who fear another shutdown.
Now, next week on February 5th, he gives his State of the Union address. What can we expect from this?
Well, I think, you know, the border issue will be front and center in that address. I think the White House will look at this as a great opportunity for him to yet again make his case for border security, for a wall. Now, we should point out that a few weeks back, the president did a special Oval Office address, which had very little impact. He gave a short speech in prime time, but it did not make much movement in terms of polling support for his position. So they will try with the much more sort of stately surroundings of the State of the Union address in the U.S. House chamber. And, you know, the president will have an opportunity to make his case a fresh case. And that's probably his best shot at trying to move the negotiations, you know, in his favor.
Now, looking at some of the other issues facing President Trump, his longtime friend and advisor, Roger Stone, became the sixth key figure in the president's orbit to be charged on special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. So what is the status of this investigation? And how will this affect Trump?
Well, Mr. Stone was in federal court here in Washington, D.C. just a little while ago, and he entered a plea of not guilty. He faces charges in terms of lying to Congress and obstruction and tampering with witnesses in terms of the Russia probe. Stone is sort of an oddball character. He's a longtime friend and associate of Donald Trump. sort of an informal campaign advisor, but the prosecutors have zeroed in on him for his links with the WikiLeaks organization, which, of course, was promulgating the stolen emails from the Democratic National Committee, which originally U.S. intelligence sources say came from the Russians. So Stone is sort of an important player in this whole Russia probe, and we have the Attorney General, the acting Attorney General, just on Monday say that he's been briefed on the probe and it's moving toward a conclusion. So who knows? It may take longer than everyone thinks, but at the same time, we could see some real movement on the Russia probe in the next few months.
Okay, very interesting times here in U.S. politics. And thank you so much. That's VOA National Correspondent Jim Malone joining me here in the studio. Well, the U.S. has imposed sanctions on Venezuela's state-owned oil company, PDVSA, that is part of an increased effort to pressure Nicolas Maduro to relinquish power to Juan Guaido, now recognized by the U.S. and a number of other nations as the country's legitimate president. VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports from the State Department.
Amid the political crisis in Venezuela, with tens of thousands calling on Nicolas Maduro to step down, the U.S. increased the pressure on him Monday by hitting his government's lifeline, its state-owned oil company.
We're going to announce sanctions against Petróleos de Venezuela, Sociedad Anónima, or PDVSA, as it's known by its Spanish acronym, the state-owned oil monopoly. We have continued to expose the corruption of Maduro and his cronies, and today's action ensures they can no longer loot the assets of the Venezuelan people.
Bolton called on the Venezuelan military and security forces to accept the peaceful, democratic, and constitutional transfer of power to interim President Guaido. Appearing to feel the international pressure, Venezuela's foreign minister, Jorge Arreaza, made an offer to the U.S. earlier Monday.
Remember that Commander Hugo Chavez said, and President Maduro confirmed thousands of times, if it's necessary to meet with President Trump, or if it's necessary to meet with the devil to have relations of peace and respect between our countries, we would do that. But I'm not saying that Trump is the devil.
Analysts say the oil sanctions may deliver a devastating blow to Maduro.
This is the nuclear option. I mean, this is sort of the most powerful weapon the U.S. has, short of military force at its disposal.
The U.S. has been reluctant to impose oil sanctions because the two countries have been interdependent on Venezuela's crude oil for decades. Cindy Sain, VOA News, the State Department.
Among the top stories in the world, British Prime Minister Theresa May told Parliament today she plans to ask the EU to change the terms of Britain's Brexit divorce from the continent's 28-member bloc of nations. Pakistan's top court upholds the acquittal of a Christian woman falsely accused of blasphemy, finally ending her decade-old legal ordeal. Chinese communications giant Huawei Technologies rejects criminal charges filed by U.S. prosecutors for alleged financial fraud and theft of U.S. intellectual property. And Transparency International, the global anti-corruption watchdog, says the U.S. has dropped four spots on its list of nations' anti-corruption efforts, and for the first time is now no longer in the top 20. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website and on our VOA mobile app. This is VOA's International Edition.
This is Science in a Minute.
Some of the biggest challenges NASA faces to meet its goal of sending humans to Mars in the 2030s is making sure its astronauts are kept healthy and safe from harm. Unlike current space flights, a round trip to Mars would involve about 3 years of deep space travel. Cosmic and solar radiation and a weakening of muscles and bones are among the health problems NASA has of sending humans into deep space. A recent University of Arizona-led study now expresses concern about the effects such a journey would have on an astronaut's immune system. The researchers studied the effects of spaceflight on NK cells, a type of white blood cells that kills cancer and stops dormant viruses in the body from restarting. They found weakened NK cell functions in astronauts who were up in space 6 months or longer compared to those who hadn't traveled to space. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is VOA's International Edition, and Palestinian Prime Minister Rami Al-Hamdallah's government submitted its resignation today to President Mahmoud Abbas. A cabinet statement said the members would continue serving until a new government is in place. The move comes 2 days after the president's Fatah faction recommended the government be replaced. Hamas, which governs the Gaza Strip, rejected the resignation, saying Abbas was trying to exclude it from Palestinian politics. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority signed a reconciliation agreement 2 years ago, but continuing disputes between the two groups have prevented its implementation. Undocumented Rosa Gutierrez-Lopez had been ordered to leave the country by December 10th when she sought refuge at a Bethesda, Maryland church to avoid being deported back to El Salvador and leave her three American-born children behind. As Bill Rogers reports for VOA, she is the latest publicly known sanctuary case in a movement that has expanded since the Trump administration took office 2 years ago.
At the Cedar Lane Unitarian Universalist Church, it's a typical Sunday morning. Members arrive to hear the church's progressive message and calls to help those in need, especially the undocumented Salvadoran woman living here in sanctuary. This church is Rosa Gutierrez Lopez's last hope.
I have faith that I'm going to be able to stay here so I can fight for my children. I have a boy with Down syndrome who has a lot of special needs.
Officially welcomed at a church ceremony in mid-December, Rosa sought refuge after federal authorities ordered her to leave the country.
Mi nombre es Rosa Inés Gutiérrez López.
The mother of three American-born children, she's seeking asylum because of gang violence in El Salvador. Wearing a government monitoring device, she says only her daughter understands why she can't leave church grounds.
El niño que tiene síndrome, él no sabe.
My boy with Down syndrome doesn't know that I'm in this situation. And my boy, who's 9, he knows I'm in this place, but he doesn't understand exactly why. But my daughter, who's 11, she does know. She tells me, Mommy, I miss you. I want you to be in our home. But I tell her I can't, because if I leave the church, immigration will grab me and deport me.
Yo le digo, no puedo estar, porque si yo salgo de la iglesia, migración me va a agarrar, me va a deportar.
I believe her and her children, her American children, would be in grave danger.
Hector Perez Casillas is Rosa's lawyer.
They would be immediately targeted because they know that A, she's been here in the United States for so long, B, she has American children, and C, one of them is ill, making her an extra vulnerable target.
Rosa is now one of 50 people known publicly to be living in sanctuary churches across the country. That number has grown since President Trump took office, and so has the number of congregations offering sanctuary, from 400 in 2017 to 1,100 today, according to Church World Service. That increase reflects the administration's harsh immigration policy, says Noel Anderson of CWS.
They see that people are being dehumanized. And they are responding to their faith call, which is to say that we are to treat all people as children of God.
While sanctuary congregations may fear government raids, for now immigration authorities are following long-standing guidelines barring agents from entering churches, schools, or hospitals. Hardline immigration advocate Stephen Camerota agrees with these guidelines, but criticizes the sanctuary movement.
It's understandable why in any individual case you might say, well, couldn't we make an exception for this nice guy, this nice lady? And I think everyone, feels a lot of sympathy for that. But when you do that, you end up with the scale of illegal immigration that we now have.
But at the Cedar Lane Church, the call to action is clear.
When Rosa reached out, and we heard her story, we felt this was something we needed to do. So buy some time while she awaits due process through the court system.
Yet this is likely to take a long time. Sanctuary stays now last about 2 years before a case is resolved, twice as long as just a few years ago. Bill Rogers for VOA News, Bethesda, Maryland.
Thank you, Bill. Well, in her photography studio in Davidsonville, Maryland, artist Linda McCarthy takes all kinds of photos, school students, family portraits, and headshots. Last year, McCarthy started a new photography project, Survivors. It focuses on women who survived or are being treated for breast cancer. For Faisal M. Masri, Faith Lapidus tells us more about this project and the survivors.
Cheryl Listman, a single mother who works in financing, is one of the 20 women participating in the Survivors Project.
I was diagnosed in 2013, and I had a 40% chance of survival with stage 2B breast cancer.
Listman didn't give up and kept fighting the disease. She met photographer Linda McCarthy through friends.
I work with women. I help educate women who are going through the journey and just, you know, help them navigate through the medical side of it. And when she asked me, I thought, wow, maybe it's just another impact that I could have on women, you know, and then also I would be able to look back at those photos and see how far I've came.
McCarthy says the idea of a project featuring breast cancer survivors came to her when she was searching for a ballerina to photograph for her portfolio.
I was introduced to Maggie, who is known as the Ball Ballerina. She was diagnosed at the age of 23 with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. So I met with her and I asked if I could photograph her, not as a ballerina, but as a beautiful girl who happens to have breast cancer. You look gorgeous. Okay, turn around. Just pick up a skirt and then just rock on one side. There you go. Beautiful. And then chin out.
McCarthy says she wanted to put faces on this disease.
I wanted to photograph them as whole women, not the parts that they see of themselves. So I didn't want scars and I didn't want anything like that, but I wanted them to see how beautiful they are. They changed their outlook in life and said, yeah, this is me and I'm a survivor. So you see the transformation going on while I photograph them.
Each participant goes through a consultation and a session with makeup artist Victoria Ronan.
In some cases, it's been a very long time since they've had makeup on. It's been a very long time since they've done something for themselves.
Ronan says by the end of the session, many of these women are surprised and delighted.
I've had a lot of women look in the mirror and just start tearing up because they can't believe how beautiful I've made them look.
When fighting breast cancer, Listman says, it's helpful to feel beautiful.
It's very important. Because when you go through a horrific journey and treatment, you don't feel beautiful. And there's a lot of things done to your body physically. There's a lot of things done to you emotionally, mentally, things that you'll never forget that are not pretty. So when you get to that point in your journey, you feel like a woman again. You feel beautiful. You feel like, you know, you've accomplished the mission.
Photographing breast cancer survivors for free is just one aspect of the Survivors Project. With the help of some local businesses, McCarthy organized a fundraiser.
During that evening, I had all my photographs displayed and all of my breast cancer survivors there, as many as can attend. We raised over $5,000 that night for our local hospital and their breast cancer center, which is the Rebecca Fortney Breast Center.
McCarthy says the positive feedback has motivated her to continue the project, hoping that one day she'll write a book about her experience capturing survivors in photographs. For writer Faisal El Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
This is VOA's International Edition.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Nikki Strong.
You love music?
How about Blake Shelton and Carrie Underwood? Or Merle Haggard and Loretta Lynn? Experience the best in country music on Country Hits USA. I bring you some country rock, outlaw, a little hillbilly, contemporary, and more, with a dash of entertainment news, too. So join me for Country Hits USA on VOA 1, the voice of America.
Hollywood celebrated the best of film and television at the Screen Actors Guild, or SAG Awards. The movie Black Panther took top prize, boasting its status ahead of next month's televised Oscars Awards ceremony. Reuters reporter Eve Johnson takes us to the SAG Awards.
Superhero smash hit Black Panther scooped up top prize at the Screen Actors Guild Awards Sunday. The SAG Awards are seen as a preview for next month's Academy Awards, meaning Black Panther's win for Best Movie Ensemble makes it a real contender for an Oscar. Star Chadwick Boseman accepted the award.
We knew not that we would be around during award season or that it would make $1 billion, but we knew that we had something special that we wanted to give the world, that we could be full human beings in the roles that we were playing.
But the night delivered another snub for critic favorite, A Star Is Born. Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga's musical also failed to take home the top prize at the Golden Globes. Best Film Actress Award went to Glenn Close for her role as devoted spouse in The Wife. And Rami Malek won the trophy for Best Film Actor for playing Queen frontman Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody.
I thank Queen and Freddie Mercury. I get some power from him that is about stepping up and living your best life.
On the TV side, Amazon series The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel swept the comedy honors, winning Best Ensemble plus Best Actor and Actress for Tony Shalhoub and Rachel Brosnahan.
To be able to count you all in this room as my peers, let alone to stand up on this stage, is beyond my wildest dreams.
NBC's This Is Us won top television drama. And a Lifetime Achievement Award went to Alan Alda, best known for his role as Army Doctor Hawkeye on the TV show MASH.
And when a culture is divided so sharply, actors can help at least a little just by doing what we do.
This year's SAG Awards largely steered clear of politics, except for Patricia Arquette. While accepting her Best TV Actress Award, she gave a shout out to Special Counsel Robert Mueller for, quote, making sure we have sovereignty in the United States of America.
And thank you, E, for that report. You've been listening to International Edition. You can also find us at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our director, Patrice Martin, and our engineer, Patrick Dea. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.